Well, given it's 45 degrees in here, this may be the first time you'll ever pray that the preacher's full of hot air from the pulpit, right? Whew, let's pray. Father, send us your Holy Spirit. Quicken our hearts and minds. Lord, may we not be distracted by the cold, but Lord, may we hear you speak even on this day. May this service be more memorable from our worship and experience of you than it is for the cold temperatures. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. There's still time for God to come through and start that boiler up, so keep praying. If the sermon gets really bad, we'll keep asking as we talk about God providing our daily bread. Well, here we are, mid-January. We're in the season of Epiphany, where we celebrate that Jesus is actually the Lord of every nation. Afghanistan, China, Syria, Brazil, Ethiopia, the Congo, the United States, the Philippines, Australia. God says, I own it all, and every person is mine. And when this message rang out, you know, every nation had their own god or set of gods. It's almost an arrogant statement until you get below the surface and see what God, what kind of God he really is. And there's no better way to see what kind of God of the universe, the God of the nations is by looking at how Jesus says we are to talk to him. You can find a lot about the character and nature of a God by how people are called to relate and respond to him. The first week of Epiphany, we saw how Jesus invited us to call God Abba, Daddy. I had the opportunity to drive a young Jewish girl in my car to a basketball game. I'm a coach, and she's on the team, and we were giving her a ride. And she was talking about how her daddy was going to arrive late. Her Abba was going to arrive late. That's what she said. Last week, we talked about thy will be done. And you're acknowledging God as our daddy who cares, who's a great father. There's also acknowledgement of father knows best. Father knows best. The Drake girls got this a good lesson in this. On that snow day back in December, they drove home. It took them 2 hours to drive the 6 miles home. They were on the off-ramp going up the Northern Parkway, and our car tires were so bad and it was so snowy, the wheels started spinning. And the cars are lining up behind them, and they're just in the middle. And so Kristen says, let's just pray. And they started praying. And sure enough, do you believe in miracles? The car started going up the hill. Thank you, Lord, for providing in whatever ways you're doing it. Thank you for getting the car up the hill. Well, they went around the corner, took a left on Falls Road, went over the Kelly Avenue Bridge, and right halfway on the Kelly Avenue Bridge, they got stuck again. This is great. We know exactly what to do. We'll provide, right? Thy will be done. You'll provide. So they prayed. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, 2 hours is enough time. I'm going totally off. This isn't a part of my notes, but here we go. 2 hours is enough time to complete the second service and have Mark Deering give me a ride home in his four-wheel drive vehicle. Well, we decided to go a different way for some reason, rather than the straight way to my house. We also went up Northern Parkway, or 83 to Northern Parkway to Falls Road. We come along, I'm like, oh, look, someone's stuck on the road here. That's my wife! So we get out. The girls had started, actually, one of the girls had sandals on. Yeah, welcome to church Sunday morning, you know, December. No socks. They were going to walk home the mile up the hill, Mount Washington, to our house. But I saw them. I said, Mark, go pick up the girls. I'll stay here with Mom. So Mark picks up the girls, takes them home. We turn, literally get a bunch of people on the road, turn our car around. We go down the hill. We park at Whole Foods, and we decide we're just going to walk up the hill. Well, we call the girls, and we say, hey, we're okay. Everything's fine. And we're just actually going to stop in the tavern and have a little soup. Have a little date day. Are you guys going to be okay? 12 o'clock, Mark's there. Okay, we're all set. We'll see you guys in about an hour and a half. Kristen's like, man, God answered that prayer, didn't he? We had the best date day we've had in years. You see, when you start praying, thy will be done, You never know how things are going to tell about. I wish I could preach that sermon again. This week, my keys got stuck. Locked in my car in D.C. Great. All right, we just talked about, Lord, thy will be done. I wish I had time to tell you the story about the peace and then the relationship I built with the guy who broke into my car. It was amazing. I was late for a lunch today, totally ticking off one of you. Like, how can he be late again? We get there, and the line's now so long in the restaurant we're supposed to go in. I said, Lord, thy will be done. I know this person might be angry. I'm late, but Lord, show us. Give this to you. We decided to go to another restaurant. We're there. We're sitting down. We're waiting for a table, and a couple gets up, and I have my collar on. He says, are you a priest? They were a Jewish couple. Yes, I am. Well, we're actually down here at Hopkins, you know, at the Mecca, because we've found some cancer in the lungs or the liver. And I said, sir, can I pray for you? He said, I'd love it. And right there in the middle of Poulet, I'm like laying hands on a Jewish guy, praying that God would heal him and he'd know the Lord. I'm telling you, when you have thy will be done attitude, it's amazing how God transforms things. Now, the guy I was having lunch, I think, was still frustrated at me for being late. But you never know when God's going to break in. You see, we have a God who longs to be a part of our lives. And so this prayer is teaching us that God's accessible, that we can trust him with details. And let's trust him, whatever he's got working on this whole not getting us heat. Hey, maybe it's just to be grateful for the things we have, right? Well, this week, we come to the easy part. Who doesn't need more things or stuff or provision, right? Think of all the needs you have in your life. Health, financial, relational. God, give me. We like these kind of prayers. God, give me this day my daily bread. That's where we are. But what is Jesus really asking us to pray for in this prayer? What does asking God for our daily bread really mean? Well, first, how do I wake you up here? Here we go. First, it's an invitation to ask God for much more than you think you need. To ask God for much more than you think you need. You see, the problem with this prayer, literally as it's written, ask God for your daily bread in our culture is, I live 3 minutes from Whole Foods and from Shoppers. You all don't need daily bread. You do just fine yourself, right? Upper middle class, anybody here not have enough bread? Literally, anybody here not have enough bread? So wait a minute. What do we need to ask for? We have our daily bread. In our family devotions yesterday, I asked our kids what their daily bread was. What did they need? And of course, they said they needed food. And, then they needed housing and heat. It was cold and clothes and friendships. And then I asked, does anyone here need a dose of self-control? I got 4 kids. How about a daily dose of patience? Anyone here had a rough week? Do you need a daily dose of joy? You see, I think Jesus is saying, look, it takes more than just cold toast to sustain you every single day, does it not? The Israelites didn't just ask for water. They asked for bread and they asked for meat. You see, daily provision to thrive is what's behind this prayer. God, you know what I need today to thrive. Would you provide what I need? Sometimes we need a dose of humility. We need to learn patience through some challenges. God, would you orchestrate my day to give me everything I need to thrive? Have you prayed that prayer lately? God, would you give me what I need? Anyone need more joy or patience or self-control or gentleness? Have you asked God for a daily provision of that? Many of you are starving. You know how it is. Do you remember your vacations from hell? Anyone had a vacation from hell? You've gone to some place, you've spent the money, you get there and your kids get sick or it's not great or whatever. Because you need more than just a great vacation on vacation. You still need your daily portion of Christ and your daily portion of joy and patience and love, even on places like vacation. We need much more to ask much more than we think. But secondly, praying, give us this day our daily bread, is an invitation to receive more than you think you need. Have you received your job as a gift yet? Have you received your children as a gift? I need to receive my children as a gift every single day. Have you received a paycheck? When's the last time you got a paycheck in the mail and took 4 seconds to just say, thank you. Thank you for letting me receive this as a gift. How many of you get dressed in the morning after a shower and said, Lord, thank you. How many of you show up to your office and they're thankful that the elevators work, that there's heat? Are you actually receiving what God longs to give you, or do you blow right by it and move on to the next thing? You see, behind the request to pray our daily bread is the invitation to actually see everything that comes from God. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's not, be thankful. Okay, I'm going to be thankful there's no heat and everyone's upset about not being at church. I'm going to be thankful. No. When you have a lens of seeing everything as a gift, thankfulness just flows. And the only way to see everything as a gift is to receive what God has for you. So when we pray, give us our daily bread, it's an invitation to receive more than we could ever think or hope or imagine from God. As one commentator put it, asking God for daily bread expresses an ultimate dependence on God for everything. Thirdly, praying, give me this day my daily bread, opens up the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in daily life. Open your bulletins for a second. Take a look at that Acts text. God doesn't always provide miraculously. That's not true. Let me say that again. God always provides miraculously. It's amazing. We have even the breath we're able to breathe. But wait a minute. Sometimes he works through others. And you notice, look at the text. It says that there was grace upon them. And many sold their homes and their lands. And they laid their profit at the disciples' feet. And they gave to anyone who had his need. Do you see what's going on here? They were the answered prayer to someone else's prayer for daily bread. When we arrived here, we had no place to stay 4 years ago. Lord, how can you provide a place for us to stay? There was a member of this congregation who gave us their home. They were the answer to the prayer for our daily bread and a place to stay. You see, all of a sudden, when you flip it around and you say, wait a minute, God, could I actually be the answered prayer of somebody else praying for my daily bread? That's when your faith takes off. One of our high school students asked me this week, church gets kind of boring to me. The Bible gets boring. I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I've heard it since I was 3. How do you keep the joy? Like, how do you do this every week? The Bible, it seems so boring to me. I was so glad for the honesty, by the way. I love this kid. And I said, look, after you stop absorbing more information and you get in on what God's doing and you become answered prayer for others, not because you're so great or because you have but because God just taps you on the shoulder and says, look, I want to use you to serve others. That's when the Christian life gets firing up on all cylinders. That's when life's exciting and you never know when God's going to break in. Like that lunch, praying for that guy. You see, that invitation to pray, God, would you provide my daily bread, has another side to it. You may be the daily bread somebody else needs. Isn't this the gospel? God provided Jesus with everything he needed to thrive. Everything. And what did he do? He took the nature of a servant. He washed feet. Jesus was the answer to the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. In his riches, he became poor and served. And he invites us to get in on what he's doing to serve others. One more story. Some of you are wondering if God really does the miraculous. I don't usually share a lot, but I'll give you one. I went on a mission trip to the Soviet Union in 1989. And I had to raise $2,000 of support. And I prayed and I didn't really ask people, but I let people know and they knew I had to give money. And I blew through all the deadlines, and the money didn't come in. But I got enough, just enough to make the airline ticket, and just enough, and the organization was saying, well, get it in when you can, bring it with you. And about a week before, I get a letter in the mail. This is pre-email. Dear David, this might be a little out of the blue, but I dreamed last night that you were going to the Soviet Union on a mission trip, and I felt led to give you some money. If it's not true, give it to the church. If it is true, here, take it. $400. Guess how much money I was short? $400. That is a true story. And you go, hey, that's amazing. I ended up calling him up. You know what? The joy he had that he'd actually heard from God, that God used him to participate in this mission trip, beats the miracle. It beats the miracle. When you start tasting God's provision and then becoming God's provision, you don't need to see miracles to believe in God. You're in on them. You're in on them. Let me sum it up this way as we close. Praying, give me this day, Lord, my daily bread, is an invitation to experience more of God daily, to reorient our perspective on what we're owed and what we're not owed. Seeing life as a gift on what we really need and what we really don't necessarily need. Deuteronomy 8, the Old Testament passage says that God humbled them and let them be hungry and then provided food and water so that they would know that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's God who sustains us. Bread is not enough. Will you ask God this week to feed you with a daily dose of himself? Yes, he'll provide our food and clothes. He'll provide heat. I guarantee you there will be heat next week here in church. But will you not settle for just the tangible things? And will you ask God for more of himself in your life? That Jesus might become, as he says, I am the bread of life. Anyone who's thirsty, come to me and drink. Will we as a church, will you as an individual begin to ask in your daily routine, God, would you give me my daily feast of you? That's what it means to follow Christ. To ask for more than we need. To receive more than we can imagine. To be open to being the answered prayer of someone else who's praying for their daily bread. And then not settling for the things of this life, but feasting on Christ, what he gives of himself every day. Through his word, through prayer, relationships, serving, and just experiencing the joy and wonder of all his works. Let us, more and more, approach our Heavenly Father daily and ask for our daily bread. Amen? Amen. Amen.